This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, another bonus episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast, which you can find at thatmomentin.com. I am your host, The Vern, and for the next few minutes, folks, I'm going to be taking a look at yet another feature from the 2017 Twin Cities Film Festival. This time, I saw a movie called Driver X. Now, this was written and directed by Harry Barrel, and it stars Patrick Fabian as Leonard Moore, a husband and a father who takes a job at an Uber-like company in order to make more money for his family. As the nights go on and the Moore becomes more accustomed to that lifestyle, Leonard's seemingly perfect life with his kids and wife, played by Tanya Clark, begins to take their toll in this very good dramedy. So let's go ahead and just hear a small section from the feature, and I'll be back with my thoughts, alright?
Oh my gosh, your legs are so soft.
No, they're so hairy.
You're so sexy.
Smell like Tinkers.
You're like the hottest person ever.
Yeah, thank you.
Your legs are so sexy.
Oh my god, stop flirting with me, you slut.
I'm not a lesbian.
You guys are gonna scissor, huh?
Not down.
No, we don't do that. I like boys.
I like wieners.
It's good, because I got one.
What do you mean you don't feel good?
I'm fine.
Are you gonna puke?
I was kidding.
Dude, switch places with
him. Are you gonna fucking
puke? No, switch places with him and puke out the window.
Hey, roll down the window, man.
Oh my god, she's gonna...
I'm fine.
Should we pull over?
No, I was kidding.
Oh my god.
It was a false alarm.
Can you get a handle on her? Jesus Christ. Is she okay?
I'm gonna buy everybody in here one of those, even you, dude. I'm gonna buy everybody bacon wraps, hot dogs, or whatever the fuck.
Stop it. So. Hey, just drop us off on the corner here.
What?
Drop us off on the corner here.
Just over here?
Yes!
All right.
God, am I not speaking English? Jesus.
Oh, you hear it. You got it.
I gotta get out.
Shh.
Ugh. Hey, is there a way to tip you on the app?
No.
No? It's $4. What does he mean? No tip. Look at this price. It's four fucking dollars.
I know. It's good. Thank you, Lynn.
No. Without a tip.
Come on.
Why do you do it?
Chelsea, come
seriously,
on.
Dude. Why do you do it? Why do you do it?
So in the story, Leonard was a manager of a record store that had to shut down because no one was buying vinyl anymore. This seems a bit odd because I'm seeing this format pop up everywhere, but for this story, no one is buying it, and now Leonard has to move on and decide how he's going to provide for his family. He takes a job interview at a social media company where the place looks more like a daycare than an actual business. It is at this moment that he begins to understand that he doesn't quite fit in with this new generation. This frustration grows with him a bit further when his entire record collection is sold for very little money than what he expected. This section actually reminded me of something my own father had to do in order to help support us when we were younger. Sometimes you just gotta do the things you don't like for the ones you love. So Leonard gets his job with a company called Driver X. And as he begins driving and interacting with his passengers, he becomes very intrigued by the fast-paced night lifestyle. Cool guys with beanie-style hats are making a mid CDs, and beautiful women are basically offering sets to him. He becomes so invested into this new job that at times, he would rather be driving than spend time with his wife or his kids. For Leonard, working with Driver X made him feel young again. He enjoys very much being able to play in the sandbox, knowing full well that he should not be there. Yeah, I don't know if listeners will understand the whole sandbox scenario, but I'll move on. This is a movie that the lead character is both the protagonist and the antagonist. He is the hero because he is doing whatever it takes to ride for his family. And he's also the villain because he's letting the job somewhat get in the way of his family life. Now, if you were expecting a story where our lead guy has to go up against Driver X, who turns out to be this evil corporation, then this will probably disappoint you. Although, in one moment, it does tease that the plot could go there, alright? And I, for one, actually liked it when the movie does skewer expectations of where certain elements should lead. In one key scene, Leonard's passenger is this very sexy blonde played by Katie Keene, who, throughout the ride, she's telling him that she broke up with her boyfriend and that she's very drunk. There's a section where she is literally leaning over and purposely showing cleavage to entice him to come up to her place, but he never does. And I feel that in most movies, whenever anyone is being offered sex, even if said person is in a relationship, that person, when given the opportunity to have sex with a hot stranger, will take that opportunity. However, Leonard never does, and we are never sure if it's because he loves his wife, or it was more because he was a deer caught in the headlights. Patrick Fabian is excellent as Leonard, a man who, for the most part, does his best to do the right thing for his family, but he is also a man who wants to do right for himself. And I feel that's a constant battle most people face. How to be a good person to the ones you love, while also not stripping away the things that made you who you are. Leonard's journey in balancing both sides of being a husband slash father and Driver X is what makes this a compelling movie. So yes, that's my quick little thoughts on Driver X. I'm going to be giving this one 4 out of 5 stars here. I think it is kind of a fun little film to watch. I like all the interactions he has with his passengers. Of course, we're talking about Patrick Fabian as Leonard Moore. I don't know the names of all the passengers in this feature there, but yeah, I think it's a great movie. I do think that Harry Barrel definitely has a good career on his shoulders there, so I'm definitely curious to see what he does next. And it's kind of cool to see a feature where I guess someone is trying to battle their own demons, I guess, even though the demons in this movie are not that hardcore. But yeah, it was a good film. But let's go ahead right now, and we're going to take another small break, and I'll be back with my interview with the lead star of Driver X, Patrick Fabian. Stay tuned.
We'll return after these messages.
If you like intelligent and smart movie discussion,
Face is a zombie movie.
How did he write a book if he doesn't have an arm?
Or want to hear the latest news on your favorite actor?
Talk some Julianne Moore, I guess.
Whales have more films than Zoe Saldana.
Then check out The Lambcast, where no question is too risque.
Rachel, do you have a mouth?
Check out The Lambcast, the official podcast of The Lamb, the large association of movie blogs, which can be found at largeassmovieblogs.blogspot.com. Si habla español.
Hola y bienvenido a la...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cinema Recall Podcast here at ThatMomentIn.com. And today, I am sitting here with the star of Driver X, Mr. Patrick Fabian. Patrick Fabian, thank you very much, sir, for being on the show here. Really appreciate it.
The Verb. Thanks for having me, man.
No, thank you very much, man. Now, for listeners out there, you will know Patrick Fabian from such classics as Joan of Arcadia. He played Gavin Price. He was Hank Landry in Veronica Mars. And my personal favorite movie, he played Cotton Marcus in The Last Exorcism.
Thank you for loving that. I love doing that. It was so much fun. And it's Halloween, so, you know, go catch
that movie out.
The Last Exorcism.
It's an amazing movie right there. Probably one of the best found footage movies ever made of horror films, all right?
Thank you. It's just
a classic right there. Totally love that film. And you know him best as playing Howard Hamlin in the Emmy Award-winning series, Better Call Saul. But we're here right now to talk about Driver X. You just heard my review earlier, and now I'm here with the star. This is a big thing right here. So tell me, Leonard, how did you get involved with this project?
Well, in very Hollywood fashion, I was playing beach volleyball with the writer and director, Henry Barrio. I've been playing beach volleyball for almost 20 years. And at one point, Henry, who's a writer-director, found himself out of work and lean and having to go ahead and drive Uber. And then he started coming up with this idea of writing this movie called Driver X. And so him and I powwowed about what it was like to be married with kids in our middle age and people not knowing our music anymore and having life sort of turn on a dime and what happens when your dreams aren't quite realized the way you thought they were going to be realized. Then he went off and pounded out a script, and then we started shooting in the, I guess, the summer of 2015.
All right.
Yeah.
So tell me, man, what was it about, when you were reading the script here, what was it about the Leonard character that really spoke to you? I mean, what did you really like about that character?
Well, you know, in one scene of the film, there's a discussion of trading in your albums and trading in your music. And that, I had to do that. And it was very bitter because I'd spent a lifetime. I'm on that sweet spot age where I bought albums, I bought cassettes, I bought CDs, and then I paid for the super scrub digital download. Meanwhile, my nephew stole it all, ripped it all off of, you know, a cloud somewhere. Well, that's what's because they all do.
Yeah.
And so I found myself turning in my music to a record store, and it was worthless. It was worthless, and it was such an awful moment. Not that everybody has to have a pristine copy of Pyromania from 1983.
Oh, nice. Oh.
But I did. And things like that in the movie really hit for me. And then the idea of embracing technology, embracing change, embracing the idea of like, okay, owning a record store is a dumb idea at a certain point in history. Now would be that time. Now what are you going to do? And what it shows is that Leonard, the guy I play, is sort of ill-equipped and ill-prepared to move on to the next phase of life. And let's face it, you got to reinvent yourself all the time.
Yeah.
That's very American, and that's also very global at this point as well, being able to be adaptable.
The character of Leonard having that big record collection reminded me of my dad, because in the early 70s to late 80s, he had a record store. Very much like Leonard had. He had a record store called Hammond Music Center that lasted from like 76 to about 82. And it went under because it got robbed, because he lived in a small town.
Oh, no.
So he still had all his records. He kept them at home. So when I saw Leonard's record collection, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's like being back at home with that B2's record collection there that my dad had. And
Did you ever go through it? Did you ever ply through it?
Oh, yeah.
Right, and then you start opening up this album. You're like, what's that? It's, album cover art would draw you into great music.
Very much so, very much so. When I saw that Dark Side of the Moon record he was playing right there,
yeah,
too, I got a little chills in my mind right there. I remember hearing that one. I remember hearing The Wall. Remember hearing a lot of like Double Platinum from Kiss.
Sure.
That was the first record I ever got right there. So let me ask you this, man. As Leonard, or you start with there, what would be an album that you would want to introduce to a new generation? I mean, what do you think Leonard would say, and what do you think you would say? I mean,
well,
as being an album that you would want, because he says that too, I want someone to discover an album. But like, what's an album you think this new generation needs to listen to?
I think Leonard would like something like Ry Cooder. He would like to introduce to, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Ooh.
That sort of thing. You know, those sort of masters. And then, you know, I myself would love to continue on like progressive rock stuff. I would love like early Genesis and classic Yes. I would love that to be able to be passed on. And
yeah.
Nothing makes me happier than listening to like Close to the Edge, top to bottom, or Fragile, top to bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's not a whole lot of room for that anymore. Although people like Steven Wilson have picked up that card and are reinventing it and retwisting it, which is great to know.
That's cool. So this character Leonard, you know, he goes through drastic changes. Have you ever go through anything like that?
To go through changes like that?
Yeah, did you ever like reach a?
You know what? I've certainly had those moments where you know, as an actor, you go like, why am I trying to be a freelancer artist? That is no way to make a living.
Yeah.
There's no way for an adult to make a living. When I got married and then started having children, it was one thing when you're single, but when all of a sudden you start getting responsibilities, all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. What was my life choice again? Was this a right thing to do?
Yeah.
But, you know, at that point, I'm wholly unqualified to do anything else. So
okay.
I got to just keep pushing on and pushing
on. Push on there. All right, now, our site is the cinema. Our podcast called The Cinema Recall is on a site called That Moment In, because we believe every movie has a great moment. Now, I have a few favorite moments from Driver X, actually.
Okay.
But one of my favorite moments is at the beginning, is when that beautiful blonde, that tight dress, comes from the car. And she's like, I'm drunk. And she goes to the car right there. She's bending over, showing the goods. And she's like, I'm drunk. And he gives her that look. And it kind of skewers expectations. Because in other movies that I've seen with that, he would have gone to bed with her.
Right.
And he doesn't do that, though. And that was like one of my favorite moments in that movie, the way it skewers expectations. When you were making the movie, what was your favorite moment of shooting? Like, what was the moment
that you really enjoyed shooting.
Well, you mentioned that moment. I want to mention that moment as well, because you're right. The movie is completely different if he makes a move on her. But he is so out of practice. That's not what he's going to do. And it's all laid out for him. And her expression as she's standing there expectantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally it gives way to utter boredom. Not even like she can't believe. She's not even offended. She's just too blasé to even be anything other than bored. But yet when she leaves, when they cut back to me and I have that expression of like a little boy at Christmas who didn't unwrap something. That's good. I loved working with Desmond Borges from You're the Worst. He plays Tom in the movie. And one of my favorite moments in the movie, which I think got a great reaction tonight, was when after our first cab ride, he decides he wants to be friends. And so he wants to get my number. And I start rifling around. You know what? I'm not even going to ruin it for anybody who might go see it, I guess. Yeah. You know? But you know what? It still plays.
It does.
I rifle around for a pencil. And he's like, what are you looking for? I'm like, I'm looking for something to write with. And he goes, oh, you're going old school. And the amount of laughter on both sides of the generational fence at that moment is a unifying device for me. And I think it's a real great jumping off point for the rest of the film.
All right. Well, I want to say again, Patrick, thank you very much for just taking a few minutes out of your day right there just to answer just a few simple questions about Driverettes. This is playing at the Twin Cities Film Festival. That's where I'm at right now. When can audiences watch this movie? When is it premiering?
Well, we're in the festival circuit right now because, one, we were still trying to figure out, you know, who we're marketing to, like who our audience really is. But we're getting really great reactions, and hopefully we're going to pick up some distribution along the way, too. We just started the festival circuit. This is only our third one out. So we're starting to defend some calls right now. So some platform somewhere in the future. Who knows if it's Netflix or it's in an art house theater sometime next spring.
All right. Well, I definitely look forward to, you know, seeing it again. I really enjoy this flick. And I think it does play well to both sides of generations, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. It's funny. You don't have to be married to laugh at what's going on. But when I hear the younger people in the audience sort of go, oh, gosh, why are they talking to one another like that? And the people who have been married before are going like, well, that's because that's how married people talk.
Yes. It's funny when you don't know, it's funny when you do know. So, yeah. Yes, no. Definitely appreciate that. But, Patrick, it's been great.
Laverne, thank you so much for having me on Cinema Recall. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it very much, sir. I hope we have you back on again.
All right, brother.
All right.
All right, so that's going to wrap up another episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast. You can find all of our episodes on the site, thatmomentin.com. We are available on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Player FM. Most of the places you can find podcast shows, we are on there. We are on Twitter, @cinema_recall. Look us up on Facebook, just type in Cinema Recall. We are there as well. No Instagram just yet, but please feel free to email us at cinemarecall@gmail.com and give us your suggestions of what features you want to see on the show, all right? But anyways, I'm the Vern to wrap up things right now, and take care, everybody. Good night.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.